Welcome to the Words of Life program. Each week we present a gospel broadcast to tell you and others who are listening about Jesus Christ. We are supported by the prayers and contributions of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. Today, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will tell us of an event that happened in a boat in the Sea of Galilee, as described in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. His sermon is entitled, "The Wind and the Waves Obey Him." Before the sermon, we will worship our Lord with song.
Broken like bread to be.
Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we open this prayer thanking you for our wonderful blessings. We especially thank you for Jesus. Some of our listeners are ill or troubled. Still others need to know Jesus as Savior. We seek your blessings for each one. Bless each local congregation of worshipers and help them in your service. Especially be with the persecuted Christians. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present The Wind and the Waves Obey Him.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is The Wind and Waves Obey Him. And our text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Please listen to the Word of God. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." What a wonderful story regarding our Lord Jesus Christ. You have probably heard of storm chasers who seek out and chase storms to study them. Jesus Christ experienced a mighty storm, the much more common way, as the storm found him. Storm chasers are awed by the power of mighty storms. Jesus Christ exerted his power over a mighty storm. Storm chasers must find refuge in the midst of a powerful storm. Jesus Christ is the only storm soother on record with witnesses to document his power over wild wind and waves. Ancient Jewish writings do, however, relate assorted stories of others who claimed to tame storms. For example, a rabbi wrote in the year of our Lord 200, quote, "Seafarers told me that the wave that sinks a ship appears with a white fringe of fire at its crest. The way to make it stop is to beat it with a club engraved with the words, 'I am that I am, the Lord of hosts. Amen, amen,'" end quote. Some Jewish scholars speculate that these words were not meant to be taken literally, but instead were an allegory criticizing the political problems of the day. In another example, the rabbi Gamaliel, a contemporary of Jesus, traveling by ship, said, quote, "He saw a huge wave coming at him. He figured it was punishment for a recent bad judgment he had made in a case. So he quickly confessed that his motives were right, saying, 'Lord of the universe, you know my decision wasn't intended to bring honor to myself or to my family, but to you, so that the strife in Israel wouldn't grow worse.' In the moment," he claimed, "the raging sea subsided." End of quote. In all of known history, Jesus Christ is the only one who himself exhibited the supernatural power to immediately stop a powerful storm in its tracks. Jesus certainly did not need to use a club, nor even a prayer to God. He is God incarnate, deity in bodily form. We believe it by faith in the Word of God. Let's examine our text. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." When evening came, in Matthew's account of this incident, this same incident, the fishing town of Capernaum was Jesus' last reported location where he had been teaching and healing the crowds. Physically exhausted from the day's work, Jesus in his humanity needed rest away from the crowds. Therefore, he said, "Let's go over to the other side." Jesus and his disciples were on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. To escape the crowds for a brief respite, Jesus wanted to go to the eastern shore, which had no large towns and therefore, of course, fewer people. The Sea of Galilee is a freshwater lake shaped like a harp and known by the locals as the Sea of Kinnereth, which is Hebrew, anglicized from the Hebrew for harp. Today, the Sea of Galilee provides Israel with about half of its drinking water. Verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. The boat was likely a small open fishing vessel owned by either the brothers Peter and Andrew or the brothers James and John. Though these two pairs of brothers had left professional fishing behind in order to follow Jesus full-time, they still retained their boats, according to John chapter 21 and verse 3, and used them occasionally to serve Jesus, according to Mark chapter 3 and verse 9. The boat was not large enough to transport at least 13 men, Jesus plus the 12 apostles. So also other boats were available. During a drought in 1986 that shrunk the Sea of Galilee, archaeologists uncovered remains of an ancient fishing boat buried in mud along the lake's northwestern shore, called the, quote, Jesus boat, end quote. Because it was carbon dated to around Jesus' time and contained coins from the year of our Lord 29 and 30, A.D. 29 and 30. It would have seated about 10 men. Now you understand that men, the stature of Jewish men in Jesus' day, were much smaller and slighter than men, average men in America today. It measured, that boat that they discovered, it measured about 25 feet long and 7 feet wide. So they rowed to the eastern shore to the region of the Gerasenes, according to Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. It could have taken about 3 hours. In later hours of the day, winds often blew in the opposite direction, therefore making rowing more difficult and a sail canvas counterproductive. The Gerasenes region to which they were headed was a predominantly Gentile region. Therefore, many would not have known about Jesus of Nazareth of the Jewish Galilee region. Therefore, it was a good place for a restful retreat. Today, Jesus Christ does not leave crowds of people behind, and especially not his very own. Jesus stated before his ascension, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age," Matthew 28:20, which is an ongoing comfort to Christians today. Verse 37, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Some may wonder, How could professional fishermen get caught in a monster storm on the one and only lake that they had presumably fished all of their lives? Because at least four of Jesus' disciples were professional fishermen. Had they not noted the weather signs? Yet they found themselves in a killer storm. In fairness to the fishermen, they had two excellent excuses for their growing disaster. First, the Sea of Galilee lies nearly 700 feet below sea level, and the Mediterranean Sea is about 26 miles further to the west. The Sea of Galilee sits like a shallow bowl, an area exactly 686 feet below sea level, surrounded by high hills up to 1,962 feet high. The words furious squall could be translated whirlwind, which took on the properties of a hurricane. Often, afternoon cool Mediterranean winds can plunge down the steep ravines and break through the blockage of gentle lake breezes. If the wind velocity and air temperatures are ripe for a clash, fierce windstorms can erupt in the blink of a fisherman's eye. Secondly, the second reason these professional fishermen get a pass is because most fishermen here worked in the calm of the later night hours. The lake measures only about 50 yards deep at its deepest, 7 miles wide at its widest, and 13 miles long. But just beyond its banks on the east, west, and north, tall hills soar up to half a mile above the lake's surface. According to a study in the Journal of Physical Oceanography, in 2002, three spinning wind curls can develop. The largest wind spins counterclockwise over the center of this lake, the Sea of Galilee. The two smaller wind curls spin clockwise above the north and south parts of the lake. This action, combined with rising heat from the sun-baked land nearby, can stir up a cauldron into a cyclone of a storm, suddenly, intensely causing 7-foot waves high enough to flip a small fishing boat. Yes, it was like suddenly being hit by a hurricane. So what was Jesus' reaction? Verse 38a, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Jesus must have been really exhausted in a very deep sleep to sleep through the beginning onslaught of a hurricane. Before Jesus exhibited his divinity, notice his humanity. He was exhausted in a deep sleep. So what was the disciples' reaction? Verse 38b. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Notice they had to wake him up in spite of the booming wind and the crashing waves. Jesus wasn't concerned about these natural causing calamities. The Christian life may well have more storms than calm sailing. Believers need to remain resilient and recover from setbacks and the cyclones of this life, because they will come. With strong faith in Christ and prayer, we can move ahead. When a squall hits, we need, with God's help, to lean into the wind and trust Christ. Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. storms normally subside gradually, but when Jesus Christ, creator of the universe, according to John chapter 1 and verse 3, as literally from the original Greek language stated, "Be silent, be muzzled," it happens right now, immediately. That's our God. Verse 40, he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" As Jesus addressed his disciples, picture them. Put yourself there. Surely, they undoubtedly stared back at him, wide-eyed and with their mouths agape, wide open. The reason they were so astonished, had been so afraid, was because they still had no genuine faith in whom Jesus of Nazareth was. They had seen Jesus' miracles before, but when their own lives were hanging on for dear life, the shallowness of their faith was exposed. So we should ask ourselves, how's our faith when we are faced with imminent danger? Jesus Christ hasn't changed. Verse 41, they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." No longer terrified about the killer storm, they were terrified as to the full identity of Jesus Christ in that small boat with them. His disciples lived with Jesus, yet they still underestimated him. We today often underestimate God's power to handle our crises in our lives. True, he saved them from the storm that day. True, many of our storms of this life are not solved, at least not immediately. But wait a minute. We may have to endure many storms, but in Christ Jesus, we remain saved. Christ's salvation is his greatest miracle. Well, how's that? Everybody with genuine faith in God, from Adam until Christ comes, is saved as we persevere in him. And how's that a miracle? In Christ, we receive eternal life with smooth sailing forever. That's way grander than any one storm on a lake. And again, never, ever underestimate Jesus Christ. Even the winds and the waves obey him.
It is our prayer that you know Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you're not a Christian, please understand that you must first believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Bible also shows us that believers repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior, and are to be baptized by immersion in water. If we can help you in your walk for Jesus, please contact us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's broadcast by requesting program 2326. That's 2326. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.